2 Kings 22, verses 1 and 2. Joshua was 8 years old. Everybody said 8 years old. Is there anybody here tonight that's 8 years old? No? How old is Maya? She's 5. How old is Brennan? He's 7. But he can't be the king tonight because he's asleep on the pew. All right. I think somebody told him, said, we've got to go to church. You know, what are we going to church for? And he said, I go to church to sleep. Praise God. Well, at least he's being honest. Amen. 8 years old. Now just think about that. Think about that little boy on the pew tonight. 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adiah of Boscath. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. Praise God. And just to give you a little bit of background and what I want to preach here tonight, I want to preach about mercy before judgment. And if I could, I would like to incorporate some prophecy here tonight so that we can get a little better idea where we are in prophecy and what's about to happen in our world, and how that the church, doesn't matter how young, it doesn't matter how small, we stand in the way of the Antichrist, we stand in the way of evil in our world, and if you haven't noticed, there is great evil that's rising up in our world, not just in our country, but worldwide. And so I want to preach tonight. Josiah was 8 years old, and he did what was right, and God had mercy on Israel until he was gone. And when he was gone, then the judgment came upon the country. Lord, we thank you for the word of God. Thank you, Lord, for prophecy that we can stand upon and lean upon. I pray your hand upon the message tonight in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I believe tonight that God is a just and a merciful God. Can you say amen? Amen. Let's get with the message tonight. If I don't hear any amens, it'll just take me a lot longer to get done. Praise God. In closing tonight, one preacher, he got up, one of the young ministers in Boston when we were there, and he said, well, he said, it's good to have my wife here. He said she critiques every message that I preach and goes over it and makes sure that everything is all right. And he said, and in closing, amen. Well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Think on these things. Amen. You know, God's a merciful God. God's a just God. And we understand tonight that God must deal with sin, that sin has got to be dealt with.
Amen.
There is no way that, and it doesn't matter how long a time period it is, sin will always bring judgment. And the thing that I see in our country, at least in America and other countries, we've gotten to the place where we think we can just do anything under the sun that we want to do, and that there will be no ramification, there will be no judgment. But I'm here to say tonight that judgment is hanging over America.
Amen.
It is hanging over America. We talk about a financial bubble, economic bubble, and there is a tremendous economic bubble, meaning that we are spending much more than we will ever take in. And I heard a figure just this last week that we are now at 80% of our gross national product is equal to the debt, equal to what we owe. And I believe that debt will bring you down when it's out of control. Amen. And we are certainly out of control. Even if the debt was under control, I believe tonight there's another bubble in America, and it's a moral bubble. And there is no right and wrong, and that which is evil is rising up. And it is saying that that which is good is evil, and that which is evil is good. And that's where we're at. And when either of those bubbles pop, amen, and we don't know the day or the hour that the Lord will say, judgment is here, and we can't turn back from this point. But I'm glad tonight that we are under the hand of a merciful God. Amen. That we are here tonight with the opportunity to worship the Lord. And there is mercy. Amen. But there is also judgment coming upon our world. Amen. And I see this in a number of places. I see it in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 26. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 26. And it says, and the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. Now think about that. It got all the way down to 10, and there was not 10 in that city that was righteous. But during the time that Abram spoke with the Lord and they went back and forth on these numbers, there was mercy. There was mercy upon Sodom and Gomorrah. And Sodom and Gomorrah continued in their evil way day after day, saying, well, the Lord hasn't come, and so we can just go ahead and live any way that we want to live. But the day came when there was judgment. And it was because there was not 10 righteous in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Praise God. And so during that time of communication with God, I call that prayer. When we communicate with God and we talk to the Lord, we don't realize how powerful our prayers are. Mom and Dad, you really need to realize how important your prayers are. Amen. Moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, we need to understand the power of prayer for our children. And you say, well, that's because we're adults. I'm here to tell you that if you're 8 years old and you start to live for God and pray to God, that your prayers are powerful enough, amen, to hold back the judgment of God upon a nation. You got to think about that just a little bit. Amen. That's a very powerful thing. And 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6 says, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example of those that should afterward, that after should live ungodly. Amen. And so Sodom and Gomorrah became an example. We think in our generation that the perverted lifestyles of many, we have to accept that because we live in a country of freedom. And thank God for our freedom. Amen. I thank God for our freedom. But there is not enough freedom here in America that you can go and kill someone and get by with it because you're a free person. There is a limitation to freedom. Amen. And true freedom comes when we have laws. Amen. We are free outside of the boundaries of the law. And in order to establish law, we must establish the Word of God. Because the Word of God is the true and right laws that we must live by. Amen. And so with the law comes order, and we call it law and order, and there is no order in our communities anymore. It seems like the order that should be there isn't there because we have abandoned law. Amen. And it's all right to burn cities down, but it's not all right to go to church. And we're seeing that. We're seeing that in California, where some of the larger churches, one of the large churches in California, they're not apostolic, but they are a church, and the devil hates any church. Amen. And they have about 7,000 to 8,000 people, and they were forced to shut the doors for at least 6 months, even though the data said that it's not dangerous, and yet tens of thousands could go and march and burn buildings down, and that's all right. Now, I'm not going to get political here tonight. I just want to talk about some of the moral things that we are looking at today. Amen. I think we still have enough mercy upon America that we at least have the opportunity to go and vote. Amen. And if you don't vote, shame on you, praise God, because it is our privilege and our responsibility, not just for us, but for our children. Amen. I grew up in a free society, a society, yes, there was crime, but not in the magnitude and the perversion that we see in our generation today. I want my children and my grandchildren to grow up in that kind of an atmosphere, amen, where they can enjoy freedom and have peace and safety in their home and in their community. Praise God. But the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And there is a real thief among us. The devil is among us, amen, and it's his will to destroy anything that is good. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. And so judgment came upon Sodom and Gomorrah, and we know that story. But go back on 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. Let's look at another instance that Peter felt it was important to talk about. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sin, now think about that tonight. There is judgment and there has been judgment even in heaven. And if there's judgment in heaven, how do we think that we can escape judgment upon this earth? There is no way. He spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. And so even in heaven, there was a time of mercy, if you want to read between the lines. But when the angels sinned and they rebelled against God and Satan was their leader and said, I'm going to ascend to the heights, I'm going to be like the Most High, and I will sit upon the throne, so on and so forth, I believe there was at least a time, a period of time, however long or however short, that God gave an opportunity for repentance. But there was no repentance, and judgment came, and they were cast down to hell. Amen. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person. Everybody said the eighth person. A preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. And what a greater example we could find in the Word of God. There's none that we could find probably greater than this one, where for 120 years the Lord allowed judgment to be held back. Amen. That the Lord allowed judgment to be held back upon the earth for 120 years while the ark was a preparing. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20 talks about that, which sometime were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, Well, praise God. How many of you have experienced the mercy of God until you were able to come to the house of God and get baptized?
Amen.
We've all got our hands up, and we all deserve to be lost for eternity, but I'm serving a God tonight that has mercy. And Noah did not take the time of mercy for granted and waste away his days, but he was working on his salvation ship, and he was working on anybody else that wanted to come and join in the effort. Praise God. But there was only eight of them. And it shows the attitude of Noah, because he wasn't named first. He was named number eight. Amen. The eighth person that God saved. And so I think that probably Noah was the last one to get in the boat. Amen. He was the last one to climb up the ladder or go up the ramp, however you think that it might look. And he was the last one to make sure that there was no one that wanted to come. Amen. I think that's the attitude that we all need to have. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
I think that's the attitude that we need to have. We sang that chorus tonight. There's going to be a revival in the land. And while we were singing that, I thought there is a revival in the land. Amen. The land being dirt, all we have to do is put seed into it, and there is a revival. There is a harvest when we put the seed into the ground. There is a revival in the land. And many, many are profiting from that and doing very well with that, because they're following the principle of God. Amen. We were made to save ourselves, as Peter said. We were filled with the Holy Ghost to help save our children and our grandchildren. Amen. But the Lord has called us to help others. And somebody could say amen to that.
Amen.
Amen. He has called us to take the bag of seed and sow it into the ground. And when we sow it into the ground, there is a revival waiting in the soil. Praise God. Somebody mentioned to me recently that they want to do something that will flourish. And I said, well, there's lots of ground around and there's lots of seed. What are we waiting for? Praise God. Let's have a revival.
Amen.
Well, praise God. I want to see God bless the work that we've done here and the seed that has been sown. Praise God. And so the judgment was held back for 120 years. And the Lord said in Genesis 6 and verse 13, God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. That was a pronunciation or a pronouncement of judgment upon the earth. But it didn't mean that the judgment was going to come right at that moment. It was given to stir anybody that would hear the prophecy of the Word of God and get busy and do the right thing. Amen. And it doesn't matter how old you are, if you're sleeping on a pew tonight, amen. All it takes is a little bitty voice to come and say, Jesus, I love you. Lord, I want the Holy Ghost. I want to live for you. Amen. How many kids at 8 years old even understand anything that's going on? Praise God. Well, they might understand and enjoy a few jokes every now and then. Praise God. And I got a joke tonight from the little one. Amen. But all it takes is a heart, a life, someone that says, I believe the Word of God and I want to do the will of God. How much more if we as adults who understand what's going on will fall on our face and say, Lord, I want to be the last one out. I want to get as many as I can and bring them with me. Praise God. I don't want to leave a ripe harvest field, a ground of soil with seed in my hand, No, I want to leave with my bag empty. Amen. Sowing seeds of righteousness, sowing seeds of the Word of God to help somebody to get into this salvation ship. And what a great salvation ship it is. Praise God. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And when you receive the Holy Ghost, you'll be speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. Amen. I'm excited about those that we have baptized. And they may be coming along, maybe they're not, I don't know. But I'm here to tell you I want to baptize more in the water. I want to pray for more that will receive the Holy Ghost. Amen. Just like Justin did, if he's listening tonight, I'm talking about him. Amen. It thrills my soul to see somebody break out in the Holy Ghost and start speaking in other tongues. It doesn't have to be in a church of 1,000. Amen. Noah had a church of 7. Praise God. And he was number 8. He was a preacher of righteousness. I got a feeling they had church services or they had some sort of time that they meditated upon the truth of God. And no doubt there was a reminder over and over again, there's judgment coming and we've got to stay busy on this ark. Amen. We can't give up. We can't stop. If we're tired, we got to get up and move on. Amen. If we did something for the Lord only when we felt like it or when conditions were perfect, we would never get anything done for God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, never would. But it's for those that see the judgment that is coming and that will say, I've got to get busy, I've got to do something for God because I don't know, today or tomorrow might be the day that the snare trips and judgment comes upon our world. Praise God. Jesus said, work while it is day, for the time comes, for the night cometh when no man can work. I don't ever want to get to the place where I can't work for God. Amen. There are many places in the world where they cannot work for God. And you heard Brother Smith's testimony about that. It is darkness that is upon the land, amen, and judgment. We're so close to the judgment, amen, that we need to really take notice of this. And so it brings me to Josiah, 8 years old, began to reign in Jerusalem, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Here's how bad it was in the day of Josiah. Josiah became king and he decreed that they go and clean up the house of God because everything was torn up. There had been problems already, but just because of the problems, Israel still did not repent. They still did not do what was right. And somewhere in the house of God, the Bible says that it was in the house of God, in the temple, they found the book of the law. Now think about that. They found the book of the law. In other words, they started rummaging through the church and they found a Bible. Praise the Lord. Now, that's a good place to find a Bible, but that's not a good place to lose a Bible. Praise God. Somebody lost the Word of God. Somebody lost the sacred scriptures. And it was under Josiah's watch that they found it. And he said, I want you to read it to me. And probably because he was so young, he couldn't read, but he wanted to know what it had to say. Think about this now. He was just a young man. And the nation was in such disarray that there was not even a temple where they could go and worship. If we would put it into modern terms, it's very much like some of these countries like China that will put you into a concentration camp if you profess any kind of religious belief at all, especially a belief in Jesus Christ. Amen. North Korea, those people are suffering, immeasurably suffering, not just because of their faith, but because of the leadership. Praise the Lord. But there it was. It was a bad situation. Don't ever get the idea that because it's a bad situation, it's hopeless. Because with God, nothing is hopeless.
Right.
Praise the Lord. Nothing is hopeless. And he said, read it. And when they read it, they read the law about the salvation of the Lord. But there was another part of the scroll of the scripture that they read. And it was about judgment that was coming upon that place. Look at this. 2 Kings chapter 22. We were already there, but let's go to verse 19. Praise God. 2 Kings 22 and verse 19. Here's after they found the book. This is after they rent their clothes. It was after that he made a decree that we're going to get things cleaned up around here. The Lord spoke, and he said, because thy heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord. Brother Reed, are you there tonight?
Yes, sir.
Read for us down to verse 20.
Because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself. And hast rent thy clothes, and wept before me. I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace, and thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again.
Praise God. What a word. Amen. Just a young man, but the Lord gave a prophecy here. Praise God. He said, because you rent your clothes, because you wept before me, I have heard thee. Praise God. I want you to know tonight, church, the Lord has heard our prayers. The Lord has heard our prayers. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. And I want to look at this, and then I want to look at Matthew chapter 24 before we finish here tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. And you can go ahead and read down through verse 4, I believe it is. And it gives all the different things that are going to take place in the end times, or in, as Scripture says, the last days. I don't know about you, but I believe we are living in the last days.
Amen.
We are living in the last days. And it's up to us to discern the times, the signs of the times. And we can find the signs of the times in Matthew chapter 24. If you'll turn there with me tonight, I want to read this before we finish. Matthew chapter 24. And verse 1. Let's just start with verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the coming, the sign of thy coming, and of the end of the world? There's going to be the end of the world, folks. There is going to be judgment upon our world. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. And that fits right into our generation. We've already had World War I, and we've had World War II, and we're hearing more and more about World War III. There's even talk in America of civil war that could break out in our country. Very many voices that are saying these things. You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in different places. And here's the scripture: all these are the beginning of sorrows. And I believe tonight that's where we are. We are at the beginning of sorrows. Amen. And it doesn't have to happen overnight, and it didn't happen overnight. Here we are over 1,900 years later, and we are seeing the rise of evil worldwide. Amen. We are seeing the signs of the times. And where is the church? The church is under the canopy of mercy. Amen. Mercy before the judgment. Let's take this opportunity that we have, the time that we have. Amen. Don't say, as it says, I believe in Proverbs, that the man will cry out and say, I can't go to work today. There's a lion in the streets. I can't go out today because it's too dry, it's too wet, it's too hot, it's too cold. You know, I thank God for America, and I've noticed that things are getting back to normal with all the semi-trucks going through town here. And it doesn't matter if it's raining, it doesn't matter if it's nighttime, it doesn't matter if it's the middle of the day, it doesn't matter how hot it is. Those guys are driving those trucks and they're going to a destination. Because we got to keep the wheels rolling. Praise God. Church, we got to keep the wheels rolling. Amen. Doesn't matter if it's raining, we got to keep the wheels rolling. Doesn't matter how hot it gets, doesn't matter how many get sick, we've got to keep the wheels rolling. You do that for your family, let's do that for God. Amen. Come on, let's stand together tonight. It only takes me about a minute or 2 minutes to eat a hot dog. And that's one of the hot dogs, the long hot dogs. I probably got somebody hungry for a hot dog. Brother Keith is nodding his head. Brother Mike's probably nodding his head too. Maybe a good burrito from Taco Tico before we hit the sack tonight. Yeah. Or a taco burger. But it only takes me a couple of minutes to eat a hot dog. Well, I'm thankful we've got more than a hot dog tonight. Amen. Took a little more than about a minute and a half to 2 minutes. Amen. Praise the Lord. I hope you're praying for your pastor. Amen. Amen. I'm certainly praying for myself, praying for you. And if we'll pray together, the will of God will be done. And I'm not afraid of the will of God, and I hope you aren't either. Amen. Because God has a purpose, God has a plan, and I was praying just tonight before I got up to preach, I was asking the Lord, Lord, would you just lay your hand of blessing upon all the things that we've done here? Lord, would you bless the seed that's fallen into the ground? Would you open the door and bless it one more time? And I believe the Lord heard that prayer tonight. Praise God. Take the time that you have and do something for God. Take the time that you have and sow some seed in somebody's life. Amen. Let them know that God is real and there's a judgment coming. Amen. Let's pray together. Somebody lift your voice with me.